to Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora here on superpoweredpop.com. You can find us on iTunes as well by searching Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora. We appreciate you listening in, and you know that there is a CNY Pop Festival coming up, and this inaugural look at bringing a bunch of different things together from the sports and entertainment world is being joined by many guests from all over the country and even outside of the country. And in the case of Michelle Harrison, somebody who has found home in Canada and has done work throughout the years in so many different storylines and different pieces, it is an honor and a privilege to know that she'll be coming to the CNY Pop Festival. Selfishly, I'm a Flash fan, so it works out for me to have that opportunity, but her work stems well beyond that. And on today's show, we are going to be joined by Michelle Harrison to tell her story and also to hopefully give you some positive thoughts as you move toward your dreams and your aspirations. And with that being said, we welcome Michelle to the show. Michelle, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing very well. And Michelle, first and foremost, I want to go all the way back to the beginning for you. I know that you've done so much work over the last few decades here. And when you look at the body of work, it's obviously important to get to where you are today. But go back to the beginning and when you were a kid, and if this was something that you always thought was for you, if you fell into it, just how your story began with being able to go on a screen and play a role and create something for somebody to sit there and appreciate.
Well, you know, I mean, as a child, I've always been creative. I've always been creating. But as a child, I didn't grow up with actors around me. I look at my son, who's 10, and he's used to seeing his parents go to auditions, be on TV. Like, it's sort of second nature to him. I don't think he really understands. So I didn't grow up knowing any actors. I grew up in a small town, so I did plays and I did musicals. I didn't do any film work, but I always knew that it was something that I loved. And so I started taking it pretty seriously in junior high and high school, but on a very non-professional level. Like, just, I would seek it out. I would find shows to be in. I would be writing stuff. And I remember taking my dad to, and I had a drama teacher named Linda Belt, who was pretty key in supporting me and encouraging me to go after it. Because, like I said, I didn't know anybody who did this for a job. And so I decided that I only wanted to do theater, and because in my mind, only actors who do theater are real actors in my 18-year-old, mind. Yeah. And so I told my dad, I sat him down for coffee, and I said, I want to go to theater school. I want to go to New York City and go to theater school. And he said, okay. And so we sort of mapped out a plan, and I started saving money. And I got myself an audition to New York, to Circle in the Square. And I saved money for 2 years after college so that I could get myself there. And I got there, went to school there, trained. And then during that time, I met my husband, who is Canadian, and we ended up moving to Canada after. And so that sort of therein begins the start of my career. But before that, I had done a lot. I had worked really hard, and it was something that I kind of knew that I wanted. I didn't know how to get there. I just knew I had to work really hard. And I think when I look around me and I look at actors who, I hate the term made it, but people around me that are working or, have an acting career, I think there's one thing that stands true. They're just really hard workers, because it takes a lot of get up and go and a lot of getting pushed down and a lot of no's before you get a yes. And I think you just got to get up and keep trying and working hard and studying and learning. And to me, that's really what the journey is about. I mean, there's the creative part, but it really is just work. It's the hours that you put in, like anything really, like sports or anything. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. What you were going to say?
So I left theater school and I moved to Vancouver, got married and moved to Vancouver, BC, and started auditioning here. And found myself doing work fairly quickly and found myself in a business that I didn't really know much about. Like, I had studied acting for all these years, but I hadn't really ever done any film classes or I didn't really understand what it was like to be on a film set and the technicality of film. So for me, I was young, so I learned on the job. But it was a real learning curve. And then that was sort of when I started to really take classes in that area. And you know, for a lot of actors, we get to learn. Auditioning is really a great way to learn because it's like this attack on your nervous system. And just, you know, you walk into a room, you've worked on this piece, there's people staring at you, there's a waiting room full of people, and you really have to kind of let everything go and do your best work. And that's really takes a lot of, it takes doing it over and over to really master it. I think it's a skill in letting go and releasing. So 20 years later, I'm still at it. There's been lots of ups and downs and all arounds, and it's kind of just a journey that you stay on. And there's times where you don't feel like doing it anymore. There's times where you love it. There's times when it's kind of irritating, like, oh, I don't want to, you know, because it's not always an easy schedule. It disrupts your life. But it also is the most rewarding thing to finish a project or to work on a character and to really embody it. And it's kind of like nothing else, really. It fills up your artistic sense in a way. Yeah, so that's my story sort of in a nutshell.
And when you look at that story, and like you said, there's these moments of, you know, I want to do this still. Do I want to do this still? What it does with life, I mean, obviously you have your husband, you have your child. So when you are away and you are filming or you have to do different things or you're going to different conventions all over the world, that has to do with, you know, disrupting normal life and normal habits and whatnot. How do you balance the fact that at any given time you could get a phone call and that phone call could mean let's go to England, or it could mean let's go to Atlanta, or let's go to LA, or let's go to New York, or what about Australia? The fact that you live in a world where that phone call that you're waiting for could come and you're really excited and you have your son's birthday coming up and your husband and you are supposed to take a trip, and now all of a sudden there's a movie shooting in Australia. Just how you balance all of that.
Yeah. You know, it's job by job and it's day by day, because there's not really a way to, I think I used to think that I could balance it all, and you can't. Something, if you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So really, I think having a child sort of centers you in a way that sort of becomes your main focus. And then from there, I decide, how much can I give away? How much do I really want to do this? How much do I love this project? Like, where's my family at right now? What does my son need? What do I need? Like, it's sort of weighing all those things. And there are times when I stay home, and that's this beautiful harmony at home, but there's also times where I go away and I know that I really need that and my family needs that, and I will come back more filled up to then be a better mother and a better wife. So it really is just project by project, and there's times where I just say no to things and stay home, and then there's times where I just feel like I really want to, you know, get out there and do more work, and so it just depends. It just depends on the day to day. And I think as you get, when you're younger and you're first auditioning and working, I was a yes person. I would say yes to everything. And I think that benefited me because you're available, you're there, and you're building your resume. And then as you get older and you have a resume, some things are more exciting than others. And some things, you know, like, for example, you don't know, you'll see something that comes up, and you know, I've done that before. Like, I've played that role before. This is not something that really challenges me, and that will help me make my decision. So it's really just project by project. What's going on with my family? What do I need? What do we all need? And you just go from there.
When you have a husband, Michelle, speaking here with Michelle Harrison on Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora, and Michelle will be gracing the stage with us at the CNY Pop Festival in Syracuse, New York on Sunday, August 12th, 2018, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. right there at the F Shed at the Regional Market, and we look forward to seeing you there. When you have your life as an actor and you're trying to determine, okay, like you said, do I want to stay home? Do I want to go out and do this? What projects would I like to do? Like you said in the beginning, you know, I said yes to everything. When you have a soulmate on the other side of you that is living this journey with you, and he gets work and you get work, and sometimes he does and you don't, you do, he doesn't. How do you balance that? And what can you say that's, you know, that life is like, knowing that sometimes you both get the call, sometimes neither, sometimes it's one or the other, just how you kind of go through the day by day with knowing that. And I guess it's good to have somebody on the other side that understands your lifestyle because they live that every day as well.
Yeah, and I think that would be hard for some people because it is sometimes you're bailing on people and you're changing plans last second. And we've got that figured out. We understand it. And if Matthew gets a job, I'm just as excited as if I get a job because it's kind of like our team. Our team is working. Of course, the really tricky part is if we're both working, and that always can be challenging as parents. And we just figured out, you know, I won't say that that's not stressful when that happens because it's usually pretty last minute. But I cannot imagine having this journey without somebody like my husband who really, really gets it. He really gets it. And yeah, it's awesome.
And to have that journey that you're taking together, I know you said you got started early on, and I believe you were 24 years old, if I'm correct, when Dead Man's Gun, the TV series, when you played Hannah back in 1999, Poltergeist, the Legacy
wow.
TV series in the same year. I'm bringing you back here. First Wave TV series. Bring me back into those moments. You know, we got early 20s, Dead Man's Gun, Poltergeist, First Wave. What do you remember from those days, those gigs, those phone calls, just what you can remember from those moments?
Well, I remember Dead Man's Gun. I remember the audition. I remember getting the part and being so excited, and especially because it was a Western, and so the costumes and the hair and all that was really pretty fun. But I was completely, I think I told you this earlier, I was completely, had no idea what I was doing on a film set. So they really, I mean, the director, who is a friend of mine now, and like all the actors sort of just, you just kind of know when someone's new. And they were just really kind, and, you know, I needed a little hand-holding through some things because the acting was there, but the technicality stuff wasn't. So it was a huge learning curve for me. I was scary, I was nervous, and I was also super excited because my first TV job straight out of theater school was pretty awesome.
And when you look at your story, Michelle, and I've asked this before of other people in the industry, is there ever a way to get there? And you know, I was on the set for Amazing Spider-Man 2 when they filmed for a week in Rochester, and, you know, they were looking for extras. And I said, hey, you know, I've always wanted to get out there and do something. So I'll go be an extra. I'll try this thing out, see what it's like. And you start to hear other people's stories, and they're saying, yeah, you know, if you get 3 days where you get paid like you're in a union, you get the union pay, then you can apply for the Screen Actors Guild and go from here and do this. And other people are like, no, go this way. So I always ask the question, how do you get there? How does it happen? What are the steps you need to take? And if I've learned anything at the age of 32, it's that you there is no clear-cut path. There's no clear way. There's no notion of this is step 1, 2, 3, and 4, and boom, now you're in the pool of everybody and let's see what happens. So, you know, what can you say about the life of becoming an actor and doing it for a living? And if you feel that there is any road to be there, or if it's just kind of, you just do a lot of different things and try to put yourself out there as much as possible. What can you say about how? The how is the question that people always seem to ask. How do you get there?
I know, and I think the road is really a personal road. It's a personal journey, but there are things that you can do. Like, I'm fully in support of studying and going to class, and if you can, go to theater school or go to some sort of program that gives you the basics of acting, because the worst thing that can happen, I think, as an actor is to have success too early and not be ready for it. And there's different parts of being ready, emotionally being ready for it, but really the skill of acting, like the craft of acting, if you're not ready for it and you're in a situation and you've got a scene that you're about to do, you know, we wait for those moments. We work and then we wait for those moments. So I think number one would be to get into acting classes, learn, write, do projects, do free things, get on stage, take dance classes, take dialect, anything that you can do that's getting you in your body and learning about the craft of acting. And from there, I think the journey really is your own, because some people, you know, get in right away. Some people struggle to get an agent, find other actors to connect to, ask for their advice, you know, meet people in the industry. And there's so many journeys in. There's so many. Some people start doing extra work. Some people, you know, audition for 2 years and finally get a job. Some people audition 3 times and get a job. It's just really, it really is a personal journey.
And when you look back on your personal journey, Michelle, and you look at everything from your early 20s to where you are today and all these jobs that you have taken, how did your journey, I know you said, you know, you're in film school and then you have an opportunity that comes about there and you can go and do something like the TV series with Dead Man's Gun. How does the connection start, and did it snowball from there? How did you kind of bounce from one lily pad to the next, so to speak, going from where you were in the beginning to getting that first opportunity and then to where you stand today? How does your road kind of personally find its way to today?
I just think I kept my head down and kept working. And, you know, you get a job here, you get a job there, then you get kind of a really great job, and then you just sort of do some TV work for a while. I don't mean just some TV work, but you do, you know, you're just building your resume and building your resume, and you're meeting more people, and you're, I guess in some ways you're building this body of work that then can represent you. It's really just, for me, it was job by job. It was at each opportunity that I had. And there's a lot of space in there of looking for work and auditioning and not getting parts and almost getting parts. And I just kept my head down and I kept working. And I think I really wanted it. I think that I had a drive to sort of want to do this as a job. Just goes back to hard work again for me. Hard work and get back up when you're discouraged.
It is the job that you hear a lot of no's for, and you always hear that, you know, if you're not a fan of rejection, then this is not the place for you. So How many no's can you, I mean, if you were just scratching them away on the wall, like the Flash is doing in jail right now, I mean, if we're scratching no's here, how many times did you have to hear the word no?
Thousands. Who knows? Like so many thousands. I've done thousands of auditions and had thousands of no's. And I think the important thing to remember about no's is that it's not a personal thing. It's often not really even about you. You know, when you're in a casting room, it's a puzzle they're putting together, and this person's too tall, or this person's hair is too dark, or this person reminds the director of an ex-girlfriend, or like whatever, various reasons, right?
Yeah.
So really, your job is just to show up and do your work. And if you fit in the puzzle piece, that's great, you know? And the strong work does rise to the top. So that's all I can do is focus on that part of it, right? Show up and do good work and leave. And there's been lots of auditions that I, you know, thought I would have gotten, and I didn't for various reasons. But, you know, you do the work. You show up and you do the work.
That coming from Michelle Harrison. And Michelle, before I let you go, I want to discuss here on Superpowered Pop with Dan Tortora some of the pieces that you got to do, some of the things that have been in your history. Now, for me personally, I got to ask you about this one because I love this show. As much as it freaks me out still to this day, I love The Twilight Zone. So what was it like for you to work on The Twilight Zone?
That was crazy because we had a baby on that show. That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah. I think when you played Kelly Freed, it Hunted, I think was the episode.
Yes. We had a baby on that show. And it was a newborn baby, and it was not very happy and crying, this little baby. It was a girl. And I never realized how difficult it was to act with. They always say acting with children and dogs is difficult, but it actually is. because you've got this whole other thing happening while you're also delivering lines and walking around and doing things. And it was great, but it was, I remember that being a challenging moment in my acting career of learning how to deal with something else in the scene that wasn't me.
And how strange is that? Like you said, dealing with like animals and dealing with, you know, a baby is so different. I mean, I marvel in how things look in the, you know, when everything is cut and put together nicely and edited and here's the piece and you're like, wow, that baby's behaving really well. But when you're on set, I imagine that there's the, yeah, we need to cut because this isn't working. I mean, how crazy does it get sometimes when you're dealing with a baby who can't readily tell you, I don't want to do this or I feel this way, and an animal that's not going to just start talking and say, I don't really feel like this scene's for me?
Oh, it can get really crazy. And that's why I think you want to have all your tools in your toolbox for those moments, because then all you can do is like laser focus on what you're doing and deal with what's going on around you. And when you have all that stuff in your backpack, it's easier to access that, because there are times you get thrown off and you have to just go with it, right? And yeah, that moment right there can kill an actor if they're not ready, right? So, but it's all part of the fun. It's like learning how to do things, for learning how to ride a horse or swimming or all those crazy things that people do in movies that seem quite easy until you're doing it in scene. Having to show up, hit a mark somewhere, and turn your horse around.
And in being in TV and doing different things, you had a part to be. You had an opportunity to be in a lot of great shows, and I'm going to name a few. I'm NCIS, House, Cold Case. To be in shows like that, and, you know, feel free to, you know, throw in any other one that, you know, that'll stand out to you. Obviously, the TV series, The L Word as well. Just some of these really notable TV series that have strong fan bases that kind of never go away. Just what you took away from some of those moments and, you know, some of the shows either that I mentioned or maybe something I haven't mentioned.
I mean, I think House and NCIS, because I was living in LA at the time, and those were some jobs I had just booked when I was living there. But I think what you start to realize is when you meet people and they remember, like they'll bring, or I'll go to a Comic-Con and they'll remember that show. And that, to me, is what kind of brings it all together, because you're kind of working in a bubble. You're just sort of doing your job, and then you're getting a job and you're working. And I think when people start to put your body of work together, you go, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's my history. That's all the work I've done over all, it's all the auditions. It's all the 20 years of getting up and back up and trying again. And those little moments are like your nuggets of gold, I guess.
And in the work that you've done recently here, out of this long list of, I believe on IMDb, it credits you for, I believe, 85 different projects that you've been a part of at bare minimum that they have given credit for. Is there anything in your history that's, because I know, and I'm sure you know it now, that when it comes to comic book based movies, TV shows, whatever it may be, when you lend your voice or you lend yourself in a live action to any type of comic book storyline, there is a fandom that is unique in and of itself. Is there anything bigger than being Nora Allen? I mean, is there, when people run up to Michelle Harrison and say, I remember you in, or I saw you with this, is there anything bigger now than being Nora Allen and being the mother of the Flash?
Not at all. And I have no idea. And it still astounds me. And by far, in all of my years of work, the Flash is by far the biggest fandom. By far. Yeah. I love it. It's amazing. It's been an amazing ride, an amazing opportunity.
When you are the mother and the story stems around you so much, I mean, I tell people all the time, and in promotion of the CNY Pop Festival and everybody saying, who's coming? I said, you know, for me personally, I hope you don't mind me saying this, I was like, the golden goose for me is having Michelle there, because it's because I'm a Flash fan. And being a fan of the show, you know, I said the first three seasons center around Mama Flash. You know, here she is. She's, you know, Barry loves her, and obviously she is killed, and the father is framed, and there's a story around getting dad out of jail and exonerating him, and then going back and realizing I can save my mom if I want to, and then flashpoint being choosing to do that and having this life, but it still doesn't feel the same. So, you know, you just weren't part of the story. You have been the Flash's heart for the entire real run of this show, and the thing that he always seems to go back to. So, you know, what has that meant to you in the role? And did you ever imagine that it would be that big for you and that big of a storyline that, you know, he's willing to change time as we know it because of his mother?
Never, never in a million years would I have known that. My brother-in-law is a Flash fanatic, and when I booked the role, he was like, "You can't believe I know Alan, you're the Flash's mom." And I didn't understand it, I think, until the first Comic-Con that I went to, and then I got a glimpse of it. And yeah, it's been amazing. Like, it's something I did not expect at all, and it continues to go on, and I love it.
So essentially, Michelle, with your story, you'll be bringing that to Syracuse, and as far as I know, this will be your first time coming to these parts of New York and doing a show, and let alone a festival like this. So what are you excited about to do something like this event, and what does it mean to you that it's not your typical Comic-Con, and it will be kind of a merging of a lot of different pieces of our culture?
Well, you know, I love, part of the, one of my favorite things about cons is going to travel to different places and actually the people that I meet. So, of course, I'm super excited to come back to New York, hoping to get down to Manhattan and see some things, and just connect with people that I've met at different cons and make new friends, and especially meet the fans that are there, because that's really, it's really the greatest part of all the cons, is meeting everybody.
That coming from Michelle Harrison. Michelle, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for everything that you have done up to this point, and we look forward to having you here in Syracuse. We appreciate it.
I'll see you soon. Thanks again.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye-bye.